An O'Reilly Auto Parts gift card is the perfect gift for that hard-to-buy-for person. Give the gift of convenience from O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Good morning, good evening, wherever you're tuning in from. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you are all here with me today. We've got another wonderful show in store for you with a wonderful guest. I'm looking forward to bringing him on soon. But first, of course, we have my blog posts that we always start off our shows with, a different blog post every week. And this week, my blog post is entitled, "To increase our joy in life, we merely have to be more present to all of life." We often set an intention for more joy, and we want to enhance and increase those good feeling moments, to have more of them, more frequently. Yet when we do, we are only looking at one side of our life. What we are focusing on is increasing the quantity of the experiences we desire. There is one way to look at our lives. That is one way to look at our lives. If we are willing to take another approach, there is another way to improve the joy in our lives. But it is about quality, not quantity. Instead of looking at how we can get more of those beautiful feeling experiences, we can look at how to get more out of the experiences we already have. To suck more of the marrow out of life. So how do we do that? By seeking to be even more present to every moment in our lives. Through greater presence, we feel more. We feel more intensely. Our emotions take us to greater heights. When we are truly present to joy that is already in our lives, we amplify that joy. As we practice being in the moment more deeply, time almost slows down. That used to go by in an instant now lasts hours or longer. And there is a challenge to cultivating this level of presence, not just in the actual practice of how to do it. The real challenge is that when we achieve this level of presence, we are not just present to all the wonderful moments of life. We are also present to all the painful, tragic moments of life as well. Those moments may feel excruciating when we are going through them, which is why we shy away from them. Yet even in the painful moments of life, there is a gift. Being present to those challenging times teaches us a huge lesson. That when we are present to the most difficult times in our lives, it is so much easier than to be present to the wonderful moments in our lives. Presence is not based on whether we feel good or feel bad. It is a neutral practice that helps us to make the most out of our lives, no matter how long or how short life is. Presence brings us to the place of peace, even in our darkest moments. It is a quiet, powerful place to sit as life swirls around us. There are so many opportunities in life to feel good. Being present to them takes us to a deeper level with each of those moments. Just as it does with all the unpleasant moments as well. We can't have it both ways. Either we are present to the moments in our life, or we are not. There is no in between. When we bring ourselves to the decision that we would rather truly be present to all the moments in our lives, that is the moment we feel more deeply, more fully, what it means to be alive. Is there a place in your life where you can be more present? Can you bring yourself to be more present to all the bad alongside all the good ones? I really don't like using bad and good, but I feel sometimes it's helpful to how we perceive things. And I wrote this blog post more for myself than anybody else. It's been a struggle over the years to really get comfortable with being uncomfortable. And it's been a long challenge of mine to really be present to everything. Like being present to the good stuff, no problem with that. But being present to the stuff that hurts, that's painful, that's confusing, that's challenging, that's terrifying, those moments, it ain't so easy to be present for me. Maybe some of you can relate to that. Yet, what I've learned over the years through my own personal practice is, in order to truly be more present to those wonderful feeling times, to just feeling glad to be alive, to feeling the sunshine on your back in a beautiful day, or like today, even appreciate the rain when it falls on us, to really be present and feel those moments, we have to be open to feeling everything. Our nervous system doesn't really know the difference between being open to everything or being open to nothing. It's kind of a all or nothing. Not that there aren't different levels to it, but there are different levels to being open to all the experiences of life. And when we shut down our connection to our feelings because we've been through trauma and loss and anguish and pain, we actually don't feel the good stuff as much. We don't feel the joy as much. When we numb ourselves to everything. So that's the challenge. If we really want to feel love and joy and excitement and wonder, then we also have to be open to sorrow, to grief, to pain. And being open to those feelings can feel terrifying. Can feel like we're going to drown in those feelings and never find our way out. I once had a teacher, Brandon Bays, who said that there is no emotion so powerful that if we're not truly present to it for 7 days straight, we cannot pass through. And she was talking about, you know, loss of a child, loss of a loved one, you know, really powerful emotions. And when she said being present to it for 7 days, she didn't mean like, oh, I'm being present to it a little bit today and a little bit tomorrow. No, she meant like pull down the window shades, unplug the phone, turn, get rid of the TV, like just don't be present to any distractions, anything other than what you're feeling. And I kind of, it took me a while to really get it, but then I related to it. Being brought up Jewish, like we have this tradition that, you know, when someone in the immediate family dies, we sit Shiva. We cover the mirrors. We don't play music. You're supposed to not sit on anything comfortable. And the idea is to just really be present to the grief for the 7 days. And then at the end of the 7 days, you know, that's it. You remember them once a year, but then you're supposed to move forward. And so I really wonder, and I do believe that when we can really sit and truly be present to something for a week, we really can get through it. So while it's tremendously scary to get lost in some of these truly uncomfortable feelings, when we can open up to it, when we can find our way through it, whether it's by ourselves or with the help of a professional or through whatever practices we use, what's on the other side of getting through those uncomfortable feelings is more space to feel everything. And then perhaps, maybe, even just seeing a flower in the park can bring us to moments of exquisite ecstasy. That even the little things can be big. So that's my blog post. It's entitled, again, "To Increase Our Joy in Life, We Merely Have to Be More Present to All of Life." And you can always find my blog on theconsciousconsultant.com, as well as on, of course, the Talk Radio website at talkradio.nyc/blog. Wonderful. Well, okay. Now it is my extreme pleasure to welcome to the show Mr. Marty Katz. Marty is the creator of the Mindful Clarity Program, which is a meditation consulting practice for executive-level managers who seek to provide their team and organizations with the best leadership they can offer. They are managers who seek to develop ideas, strategies, programs, and tactics to generate enhanced productivity and satisfaction. The basis of the Mindful Clarity Program are the Vedas, an ancient body of work that informs the Buddhist and Hindu traditions. Marty has been a student of meditation for many years and has studied with teachers steeped in the wisdom of the Far East. Through his studies, he has learned a range of meditation techniques, including breathing, mental focusing, mantras, which contain vibrational frequencies that move us into a meditative state. Marty has worked with executives and large enterprise-level organizations to support their efforts in achieving their leadership goals. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Marty.
Thank you very much, and thank you for your kind words of introduction.
Oh, you're quite welcome. You're quite welcome. It's always a pleasure to bring somebody on who is both very grounded in sort of the 3D world, but can also understands the value of bringing people to a deeper place within themselves.
Yes, that's absolutely the idea. I mean, the idea is that we're all involved in our everyday work and our everyday activities, and yet there's another world that exists that can be tapped into with the proper application of effort and focus, mm-hmm. intention, to find other things that can be very useful for us as we proceed in our lives to develop the best form of life for ourselves and those around us.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm curious, when you were younger, were you always curious about sort of esoteric subjects and things that were out of the norm, or was that an interest that developed later in life for you?
I would say in my mid-20s, I really just looked around my world and I said, this can't be all that there is. You know, I had a job, I had activities I was involved in, I was dating, but I looked around and said, there has to be something beyond this. I had a not particularly religious, but somewhat religious upbringing, but it wasn't sufficient for me. And so I began to become curious about what else is there in this world for me to explore so I can make sense of it, so I can get the most out of it for myself. I wasn't really thinking about anybody else at that time. And then I engaged in a whole series of inquiries into the wisdom of the Far East. And that was the beginning of it. And then it sort of it grew over time. It was all really, it was about self-development and self-growth. How do I grow myself? How do I find the best way to be myself? And look inside of me to see who the answer is, because the outside I saw was limited, and I thought on the inside there may be an untapped well of data, information, and wisdom that I had.
Wonderful, wonderful, excellent. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I would like to talk about just what kind of brought you to the place after sort of your own practice and seeing things for yourself to decide to bring this to other people. Like when did you sort of decide to make that switch from just being sort of a quote unquote normal businessman into somebody who teaches meditation? Okay, Marty?
Will do.
Awesome. Awesome. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every Thursday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, live right here on talkradio.nyc and all over social media. And we'll be right back with our guest, Marty Katz, in just a moment.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your Conscious Consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Branku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
If you don't have your health, what do you really have? It's time to feel good in your body and shift from struggle to ease. Hi, I'm Elizabeth Tripp, your host of Nourish the Soul, where we explore the sacred wisdom of your body while you sit back, relax, and go on a journey of self-discovery. Join me every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to awaken your heart, transform your well-being, and unlock a deeper understanding of yourself.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. Marty, so you started studying philosophies from the Far East just for sort of your own edification, for your own sense of, you know, more enlightenment, I'll say, but not necessarily spiritual enlightenment, but just for your own sake. What eventually brought it to the point where you're like, oh, I think I got to share this with other people?
Yeah, it was like a good Chinese restaurant, you know?
Yeah.
You had to tell people about, you know, the secrets of this Chinese restaurant. So what happened was, I initially was doing this for myself and my own personal growth. But then I noticed, because in the real world, I'm also a marketing consultant. So I have a business, marketing consulting business. And I have lots of contact with people in various industries. And even before I had my own business, I worked for the advertising agency business and a host of marketing related activities professionally over time. And I noticed that people were stymied often. And I noticed how frustrated they were in trying to find ways to improve their own productivity and their team's productivity and their company's productivity, and how they could really be better at that so that it would be a real win-win situation, meaning that the management would do well and the employees would be engaged and the clients would be satisfied. So the more holistic view, and they struggled with this. Many of them were in their heads. They figured, I have to think about this. And I knew from my own work that there's a limitation in that's related to mental activities, that there's something that's way beyond that. If you really focus on the internal, which is really about how you feel about things, how we in the heart center, you would say, in terms of the way Vedas look at things, there's these centers, energy centers called chakras. And the heart center is the place to start, not because it's not about romance and Hallmark cards and flowers and candy and champagne, although those are fun, but this is really about what's really true for me. And if you focus on that, out of that can come a lot of the answers that people look for in their own work and to provide satisfaction for themselves and those whom they serve.
Right. So how long now has it been since you've been actually offering meditation and showing people how to engage in this?
Well, I've been doing this informally for at least 6 years. I say informally because I was able to do this with people who I knew professionally and provide them with a whole series of things that they could do to enhance their lives and so they can achieve their own goals. Many of them were looking for a particular goal, a professional goal, and I was able to provide that to them. I noticed that as the practices that I recommended, meditation, journaling, breathing techniques, and a host of others, I noticed that they were actually getting results. So about a couple of years ago, maybe 3 years ago, I decided I think I'm going to go professional with this. And so I do train people in how to get going so they can actually enhance their lives in this way to achieve their goals. And using these techniques, it's like a practice, like anything else. How do you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice, practice, practice. You really have to do this. So those people that really take it seriously, they can really find ways in a very practical sense to get what they're looking for. It's not just a theory. It's not just people sort of feeling good about themselves without being tethered. This is an absolute tether to reality approach that I use.
I'm curious, over the years that you've been doing this yourself, what have you noticed different in your own life? Like how has these practices really supported you to make shifts and changes in your own life?
Well, in a number of different ways. Firstly, I was able to really get a much better result in the professional sphere in which I operated. Mm-hmm. I was able to actually achieve my goals and achieve my dreams. In addition, I was able to serve others, and it's important for me to serve others, to provide them with as a sharing a principle for me so that I can use this in a holistic way. I didn't want it to only be about myself, but I noticed as I shared more of this, the more goodies I got. So the more that I was willing to share what I've learned and what I found to be successful and productive, and others would do the same thing, the more productive I was in terms of relationships, family, friends, business associates, and business results.
You know, I've meditated and known about meditation for decades, But when I first got involved with it, it was very much on the fringe. People weren't talking about it. If you mentioned it to somebody, they think you're a little cuckoo, especially in the business world. It was, that kind of stuff was real taboo. Have you noticed like a real shift in people's openness to hearing about it over the years?
Now, there's no question. Major corporations have wellness practices that for themselves internally, for their own teams, as well as serving their clients. This, you see this very very typically in management consulting firms, where they, as a regular thing, will offer wellness consulting to their clients. And the reason they would do that is because the clients of these management consulting firms, they're looking to do this internally. They don't have a way to do this, and they're looking to achieve a certain level of mindfulness within their team members so they can have greater camaraderie, they can have greater innovation, productivity, satisfaction, joy and satisfaction in their work environment, because these are important principles that are emerging. And so there's no real playbook for how to do this out of Harvard Business School. It's not the way it works. Those are right. Analytical tools. And these are tools in a different way. So, and these tools are very effective. So certainly I've noticed this happen, and even companies that are not in the service of others, like management consulting firms, regularly have wellness activities and programs and events that generate these kinds of outcomes. Because it's not seen, yes, I understand that many people had in the past saw this as fringe, but it's becoming much, much more mainstream. I mean, there's the whole industry of wellness and mindfulness, and it's a separate industry, and it's not about psychology, although there's certain elements that would relate to psychology, but it's really its own animal. And so it's being recognized increasingly by standard middle of the road businesses and industries. This is something that's very useful because it actually enhances the company's bottom line.
I know that the first sort of industry where I heard they started implementing wellness programs and meditation practices and stuff was in technology. Technology companies in general, they're a little more progressive, they're a little more forward thinking. But I'm just wondering, after technology, where did you see it kind of get into more easily? Because I'm sure there are certain industries, like, I don't know, maybe military, that are very old school and not quite as open to it as certain others. But I'm just wondering, after technology, where did it go from there?
Went to a number of different industry sectors. I think the real issue is the profile of the people who work for those industries. For instance, where you have industries with many young people, such as tech, for sure, those are people that tend to be more open-minded because they're early in their lives and they really want to explore more things. I would say the industries that I've seen that are more open are the media industry and communication industry, like my work in advertising. Speaking very broadly, communications industry sectors are more interested because they have to find ways to connect increasingly with their target audience. And one of the ways to do that does not come out of the intellectual analysis of data, but more about how do we use our emotional intelligence to connect with our audience. And meditation is a very key piece to engage in those practices so you can produce that result.
Right. Gotcha. All right. Wonderful. Once you decided to sort of help other people with this practice, you eventually created this program, the Mindful Clarity Program. How long did it take you to really come up with sort of this program itself, the idea behind it and what's involved with it?
It took years. It took many, many years. It took a lot of trial and error because, I made this up as I went along. Like I said, there's no playbook for this. You can't right. just look somewhere and use AI to find this. So it took me, because I had a particular vision of this, and you talk about industries, there are many industries that typically even today rebuff this whole idea about meditation. And so to answer your question about for whom is this most likely to be interesting, I had to take a look at who's open to this and then really formulate what I would do. Ultimately, I looked at the many years of meditation practices, about meditation, which is mantra based, and the practices that I were taught. And I took from everything that I had learned from a number of different teachers and spiritual paths and philosophical approaches. And I really made my own distillation. It took years and years and years until I say, this is the essence of the essence for me. This is the truest of the true. So I distilled all of this and I make it very simple. And then I have a particular set of steps people go through. But it took forever to actually find something that I felt would be most useful for people and engage them so they can produce the results they want in their lives.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Gotcha. Okay, I got more questions around that, but we got to take our next break. So when we come back, I just want to talk a little bit about, what maybe some of those essences are, and then maybe you can give us some examples of people who you've worked with and sort of how implementing these practices took them from one place to another place.
Will do.
Excellent. So,
attention everyone. Wayfair's Black Friday preview sale is here early. Right now, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on furniture and bedding, cookware and holiday decor, and tons more. Now's the time to score big on finds to feast, get festive, and get comfortable all season long. Plus, enjoy fast and easy shipping with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. My guest this hour is Marty Katz, creator of the Mindful Clarity Program, and we'll be right back in just a moment.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be Frank About Health with all of you.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A-Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A-Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
So, Marty, you mentioned before that you kind of distill down sort of the essence of the practices that you found most effective. Because I know there's transcendental meditation, there's Vipassana, there's many, many different forms of meditation. So when you've distilled it down, like, what are the essential elements that you feel are necessary for just even a basic practice or just someone wanting to dip their toe in the water?
Right. That's a great question. So the way to start really is with focused meditation of a short period of time. Could be 5 minutes, could be 10 minutes. And what you do is there's a certain breathing technique that you have to learn, which is very simple, which engages the body in a change of consciousness through this simple breathing technique. And then there's a repetition of the mantra, which is a silent repetition. And I should say that, you know, the market has a lot of these apps that guide meditation, and those are terrific. They are really very good. However, what I found is the limitation of those is that you can't go any further than what's presented to you, the voice and the particular activities. So mine is a silent meditation because there isn't, it's limitless because there's nothing beyond you. It's anything that you do, and it's unlimited. So you use it. So the answer to your question, the simplest thing to do would be to learn a mantra that I provide, which is a public mantra, and then to engage in this in the breathing activity, which is also very simple. They enable you to step into the state of meditation. And then do it for 5 minutes, do it for 10 minutes, and then take a pause and then see what happens within you and in with your physical space, with your mental space, your emotional space, and any thoughts or ideas that come your way afterwards. It's really about excluding the mind and the ego, because the ego and the mind wants to prevent you from doing anything other than what it wants. But you need to find a way, or the opportunities for you to find a way for you to manage your ego mind, as opposed to your ego mind telling you, this is no good, this won't work, nothing works, you know, you're a loser, all these thoughts, self-limiting thoughts, that we divest ourselves from self-limiting thoughts to thoughts that are open and complete, and in terms of the possibility to be present, you talk about being present, to being present to the possibility of what's available to you, and it happens through those kinds of simple techniques to get started.
Yeah. It seems to me today that we're more distracted than ever before with our phones and technology, and people expect you to always be there and responsive. Is it more difficult for people just to sit and be still than it used to be?
There's no question about that, because we are inundated with messages, information, misinformation, disinformation, all those things, entertainment, pseudo entertainment. We're deluged with all of these distractions. So we need to piece ourselves out of this and to find a way through this, to thread a needle to get through all of this. And it's difficult. I mean, you know, to sit for meditation can be a challenge. So yes, it's difficult to do this. There's no question about this. But once you say, you're going to set your mind to doing it and say, despite all this, the environment that's so cluttered, I'm not going to be cluttered. I'm going to be true to myself, and I'm going to take the long view as opposed to the short view, which is the clutter that we all face.
Yeah. So I'm curious if you can maybe give us an example. I mean, you don't have to reveal any personal information, but just an example maybe of somebody who came to you who was having some challenges and how going through the program actually helped them and got them to a better place.
Sure. Well, I can definitely, obviously I can't let you know any particular information about their name and so forth, but I worked with a fellow a couple of years ago, and he had a business that he was looking to sell. Mm-hmm. And it was a pretty substantial business. And I worked with him with these things, with meditation and journaling, which is a very key piece. Mm-hmm. Journaling it's not a diary. A diary is kind of a capturing of information. A journal, a meditation journal, is about creating in present time your goal. So it's a way to access what you need so that you can manifest or create in your life what your goal is, stated in present tense terms. And so I work with him through journaling and meditation. We met regularly to go through this. And there's some meditative techniques about breathing that I discussed earlier. Some of them are rather esoteric. So he was able, as a result, to absolutely manifest his dreams exactly the way he wanted them to be. Mm-hmm. And so that was a really good example of how this worked. That was a real business sense. There was another person I worked with who wanted to manifest a different relationship than he had. We used the similar kinds of techniques, and he manifested what he was looking for in a relationship. So this is sort of a movable feast. It could work for business. It could all work for family. It could work for relationships. It could work for community. So your goals are your goals, and it's just really about being very clear about them and applying your own inner energies to their creation, which you can do with these techniques.
Are there sort of ancillary outcomes that happen, like somebody coming to you and, yeah, it may be a very business-oriented goal, but once they start the practice, it actually helps to shift other things in their life, other aspects?
Absolutely. What I would say is the main thing that occurs after I work with them is they want more. And they say, this is great. And they will say, now I'm really engaged in this. And they go off on their own and explore their own approach to meditation and conscious awareness and yoga and the pursuit of esoteric knowledge from the Far East. It charges them up to do that, to engage in other activities and practices that go way beyond what I offer. I'm just sort of like the step in for a lot of people. That's perfect for me. So I would say the ancillary goals are they explore on their own and they engage in practices that I don't offer. Many of them go into significant yoga practices. Others move into martial arts. There's all kinds of things that happen as a result of the work. And they find that they get even more satisfaction from that. And they're able to handle issues that come up, to be present in the way that you just discussed in many areas of their lives.
Yeah. Do you ever get people when you talk about this who are concerned about it affecting their religious beliefs or just their beliefs in general?
Yeah, that comes up very briefly because what I do has nothing to do with any religious beliefs or dogma. It's separate from that. You can be as religious or non-religious as you wish. This is really independent of that. It doesn't come up very often because by the time people get to me, they know just by knowing about this work in general, absent me, but they understand that meditation is not weighing against a religious belief or practice. But occasionally I get a question, you know, can I continue with my religious practice? And I said, yes, these are completely separate checks. Mm-hmm. These are not the same. So certainly one can continue being as religious or not religious as you wish. And this is an adjunct. Mm-hmm. So this is a way to find different things within yourself that your religion may not touch on exactly or in this particular way. Because religions also have spiritual aspects as well, but many people find they can't really access that in the way that they find to be satisfying. So they look at the wisdom of the Far East as a tool to access that, and a key to open up that door.
Is there anything that's really surprised you over the years around the meditation practice and around sort of this path you've taken? Is it like, you know, something that really, you know, you figured, yeah, that makes sense? Or was there anything that happened that was really like, wow, where did that come from?
Yeah, I wish I would have done it sooner.
Yeah.
And the people I work with, they say, why didn't I meet you earlier?
Right.
You know, and why is this so easy? You know, people think, oh, I can't sit. I'm too jumpy. I can't sit. I've heard that. Mm-hmm. I said, that's just the point. I'm so full of energy. I said, yeah, that's just the point. Mm. So I would say that the thing that surprised me is how quickly it works for people and how they, like me, said, I wish I had discovered this years ago. So I guess that's what surprised me, that it took me this long to get to this, to get to this point in my own life and my practice and my own business. So I finally get to this. It's sort of, I wish I'd have this many, many years earlier.
So, I mean, would you say your business is more successful because of these practices, or is it more your relationship to your business has shifted? So maybe the success isn't the point anymore.
Well, I would say it's both. You know, if you approach your business because you are passionate about it, that's really the key piece. We're talking about business only right now. If we're passionate, which means that we are devoted to this because it brings us joy. And I'm like I spoke to someone recently, she herself is a management consultant. And she was not noticing where her passion was. And she was really kind of frustrated with the business result that she was producing because they were not what she wanted. And if you focus on what the passion is that you provide, if you focus on that, the business results will follow. And a lot of people think, well, I'm only going to engage in a particular business, a meditative practice, if it attaches to an outcome. But, you know, you can't really engineer the world to produce the result that you want. You can engineer yourself to be what you want and focus on your passion and using your passion, and then the results will play out in the world and then follow you. But you can't say, I have to get this result. Focus on you, and then the results will follow.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Wonderful, Marty. It's time to take our last break of the show.
Okay.
When we come back, I want to just ask you a few questions around sort of today's environment and where we are now, because there is a certain atmosphere lately that can be challenging for certain people to deal with. So maybe you can give us some tips on what can be helpful with that, okay?
Absolutely.
Wonderful, wonderful. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. Again, we do this every Thursday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on talkradio.nyc. And we'll be right back with our guest, Marty Katz, to finish it all up and tie it up for you.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your Conscious Consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
And welcome back. So Marty, you know, regardless of sort of which side you were on when it came to this election, the election has sort of thrown a lot of people off center in one way or another. And I personally know many people who are just not feeling good. And I'm wondering, what can your practice do to offer to people when they're in such a state of dysregulation?
Well, for sure, I know exactly what you're talking about because I'm one of those people. So, so I'm not exempt from this. This is an equal opportunity depression for people. So,
yeah.
So, but having said all that, so firstly, the thing to do as I see this, is for us all to just grab a hold of ourselves and say, what can I get out of this? How can this benefit me? Because you can easily fall into being a victim and feeling like everything is lost. But I think the thing to do is to say, this is something that is here and it's now and it's not going away. What can I do to get from this what's best for me? because mm-hmm. people are concerned about themselves and they're concerned about their families and their children. Mm-hmm. So what can we get out of this that could possibly benefit us? And to take the foot off the gas of this is all horrible, because that's a very easy thing to be seduced into that, or to be just, you know, just lulled into apathy. Right. And so rather than that, and with my practice is to use a focused meditation, focused intention on finding ways to make all of this work, because logically it's not going to make sense. Mm-hmm. But on an energetic level, it absolutely could work mm-hmm. for ourselves. And to say, I'm doing this for myself and I'm using my own energies to create an environment for myself and my business and my family, my friends, wherever you want to define your world, to make it work, because it can. Because again, like I said earlier, meditation is a movable feast, so we can move it to where we want to. And right now we need to move it into how do I manage this? And not manage it from the point of view of, you know, about just feeling this, that they were all at the effect of, in a negative way, what happened in the election. Clearly, the American people have decided about a particular path they want for themselves. So the idea is, how can we use our own practices and our own energies to get the most that we can for ourselves, not in a selfish way, but in a way that really serves us and others around us.
Yeah. It's, you know, interesting. We tend to, the mind will tend to latch on to sometimes these big, huge issues that may or may not affect us personally, but we don't really look at, well, what does this mean for my day-to-day life? What does it mean for me today, tomorrow? And again, that idea of presence. And look, if we're upset, we're upset, right? If the nervous system is feeling scared, we're scared. And if we give the space to that and we hold that tenderly, then we can move through that to a place of greater empowerment.
Yes, that's true. And also to take you can also take a yang approach, you know, about yin and yang. Mm-hmm. Yin is receptive and yang is forward moving. That's sort of basically what it means. So we can take a yang approach, even though it feels like we just have to be just totally recessive and just let everything happen to us. But we can also take an assertive, forward-moving stance about this and say, you know, this is not what I wanted. I'm getting what I want, period. Not maybe because of or in spite of, but I'm using what's available to me right now. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm using my own facilities, my own energetic output to achieve what I want. And you can do it in a very assertive way. And I think that's what's available to us if we so choose.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Again, it's sort of being focused on the solution and not on the problem.
It's correct. It's correct. It's really focusing on your outcome that you want to achieve. And then the most important thing, like I just said earlier, is to take the steps and to let go of the result. Take right. the actions. Take actions all the time. What is my business like? Am I doing okay in my business? Do I have to do different things in my business? What about my team? Do I need to hire different people? Whatever steps you need to take. So focus on the steps and also the inner work and that's required. And then the results will show up as they show up. We cannot predict or manage them. Mm-hmm. So to use all of these same practices for an outcome that makes us absent from the typical kind of landslide that we think that we're facing. It's just we make our own outcome. We make our own result based on our own input.
Yeah, that's
the main thing.
I remember I was traveling recently, and I forget which airport it was. It was one of the local New York area airports. And I went to use the bathroom, and it was down this long hallway. And then on the way to the bathroom, there was a door, and on the door it said meditation room. So there was actually a little meditation room in the airport that if you wanted to go and sit and meditate before your flight, you can go and do that. Is that going to be the future, do you think? Do you think we're going to find more as now the companies want people to come back to the office, to work from the office? Are there going to is having a meditation room in your corporate office going to be more of a common practice?
It's absolutely a thing right now. It's not going to. I work in a WeWork office in Midtown Manhattan, and this is my third because the other one's closed.
Mm-hmm.
So every one of them had a meditation room, and I meditate in my own meditation room, I would say, at least 3 times a week. And you know, it's not an ashram, it's not a meditation center, but it does the job. So I would say yes, people in corporate America are recognizing it. They're building it in as one way, yes, to bring people back to the office, to encourage them to stay in the office, and encourage them to be happier in their office. The meditation is not is such a strange anomaly as it may have been many years ago. It's really becoming mainstream and accepted and also pursued by people. I mean, I have to stand in line for this meditation center, you know, in this office. You have to reserve the room because a lot of people want to use it. So it is absolutely here to stay because meditation is really recognized for its own intrinsic value and the results that it produces. So people are encouraged to by management to please use the meditation room whenever you want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So one last question. If somebody hasn't done meditation, they're listening to us and they want to kind of start, dip their toe in the water, what would you recommend for them? Or if somebody listening already has a meditation practice and they want to take it deeper, what would you recommend for them?
Well, if they'd like to work with me, I mean, I'm very happy to work with people. And I would say even absent me, what they need to do is to use the practices which are available, and you can get them online, you can get them through friends, and just take these practices and take them seriously. So that would be the way to go. If somebody wants to contact me, so I'm Marty Katz, it's getmindfulclarity.com, getmindfulclarity.com. That's my website. You can contact me through that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be happy to talk to you, I give you a free session, just so you get to know what it is that I do. I'm very happy to do so. And if not me, the world is your oyster, except for vegans. And find what works with you and settle in and stick with it and just practice. That's why they call it meditation practice. That's where that word comes from.
Yeah. Wonderful, Marty. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you. I appreciate what you do in the world. And thank you for taking the time out of your schedule to come on my show today.
Thank you, Sam, very much for the opportunity for me to speak to people. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're quite welcome. You're quite welcome. And of course, thank you, my loyal listeners, for tuning in every week. Without you, there is no show. So I really appreciate all of you. If you have any comments, questions, please put them in the comment section. We'll get back to you. And of course, later today, we have Frank Harrison and his show, Frank About Health. And tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., Tommy DeMisa and his show, Philanthropy in Focus. And next week, we still have shows beginning of the week on Tuesday and Wednesday. And hey, did you catch my episode on Dr. Linda's show, A Train to Sedona, last week? It was a good episode. Go check it out. Thank you all for tuning in. We will talk to you all next week.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be Frank About Health with all of you.
If you don't have your health, what do you really have? It's time to feel good in your body and shift from struggle to ease. Hi, I'm Elizabeth Tripp, your host of Nourish the Soul, where we explore the sacred wisdom of your body while you sit back, relax, and go on a journey of self-discovery. Join me every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to awaken your heart, transform your well-being, and unlock a deeper understanding of yourself.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The H Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Branku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Attention, everyone! Wayfair's Black Friday preview sale is here early! Right now, score up to 70% off everything home at Wayfair. Shipped in time for the holidays. Shop early Black Friday deals now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
An O'Reilly Auto Parts gift card is the perfect gift for that hard-to-buy-for person. Give the gift of convenience from O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!